If the recorder is started. And it looks like tonight we get to start 1 Timothy chapter 1, which on the Kindle is page 373. Is that the same as the book? Okay,
yes.
Same as the book. All right, here we go. It is time to release your belief in individual personhood and to accept yourself, with a capital S, in joy, as you truly are. The personhood of man, and of course this includes woman, you could look at this man as mankind, right? The personhood of man, which is based on the belief in the world, is meaningless. It is meaningless because the world itself is not real. So all that is based on the world is also not real. This is a very deep thought that you do well to sit back and soak in fully. For within this thought is another symbol that is key to your own salvation. Feel within your heart as I speak, and you will hear the truth of all I say. So let's look back at verses 3 to 7, sentences 1 and 2, because he's asking us, he says this is a very deep thought. You do well to sit back and soak it in fully. And then he tells us there's another symbol. There's something that's not said here that we will realize if we contemplate these sentences. And my guess is, you know, if you want to blame someone, you can blame me. Probably whatever is not said, I was not ready for it to be directly said. So it had to be given to us kind of in code and provided, you know, with a hint so that we could go back and contemplate it and figure out later what Spirit wanted to say that I would not permit. So let's look at these two sentences. The personhood of man, which is based on the belief in the world, is meaningless. It is meaningless because the world itself is not real. So all that is based on the world is also not real. And again, he's telling us there's something there that's not being quite said that is key to our own salvation. So first, looking at what is being said, the personhood of man is not real. And the personhood of man would be the idea that, you know, I am Regina. This body, this personality, and this mind is Regina. That one is Priscilla. That one is Dan. That one is Wayne. That one is Francine. Okay, he's saying that is not real. And the reason that is not real is because the world is not real. So the world that we seem to be sitting here in, you know, in chairs, in the Center for Inner Peace, in Pueblo, in Colorado, in the United States, on a planet Earth, what's the name of our galaxy? In the Milky Way, right? None of that is real. And so if none of that is real, if you start out at the Milky Way, if the Milky Way is not real, then you zoom all the way into Regina, Priscilla, Dan, Wayne, Francine, they can't be real either, right? So, we, as we perceive ourselves, are not real because the world is not real. And he's saying within that, there's a symbol. And that symbol is the key to our salvation. So, what comes up for me when I look at these statements that the world is not real and therefore the person is not real, but I'm told that's only pointing in the right direction, what it brings me to ask is, well, then what is real? If these things are not real, what is real? And of course, you know, what is real, the answer that comes up for me immediately is the isness itself. And the isness itself, I was not ready to know about when I wrote NTI. I realized the isness itself, you know, a couple years later. So the isness itself is real. And if I learn to focus on the isness itself, even why I appear to be a person and I appear to be in a world, I appear to be in a galaxy, but I focus on the isness itself, that's the key to my salvation. The more I focus on the isness, the more I move towards the truth of what I am. So the personhood of man, which is based on the belief in the world, is meaningless. It is meaningless because the world itself is not real, and all that is based on the world is not real. And the reason that's important is, again, every one of these personhoods sitting here in this room are going to die. Everything that we know and love in the world, if this personhood could last forever, everything that we know in the world would pass away. And eventually the personhood would have none of the things that it originally loved. In fact, you know, every now and then you'll see a movie about somebody who for some reason has everlasting life. So, you know, something happened to them and they have everlasting life. And
that's like Highlander when you said that.
Yeah, and the character always at some point talks about what a curse it is, right? It's such a curse to live forever when everything around you isn't,
yeah.
Right? Everything around you is dying. So, you know, if we give meaning to all of this, in some way we suffer, right? We suffer. But if we start to realize that all of this is meaningless, and we give meaning only to the isness, even as the world shifts and changes and things come and go, the isness is always constant. And it's always here. And so if we learn to give our meaning only to the isness, then that is the end of suffering. So again, starting with sentence 3, this is a very deep thought that you do well to sit back and soak in fully. For within this thought is another symbol, the isness, that is key to your own salvation. Feel within your heart as I speak, and you will hear the truth of all I say. Individual personhood is based on a belief in separateness. It is based on the belief that there is a you and an I, a he and a she, and us and a them. Every part of the idea of individual personhood is based on the belief in separateness. Yet, I have been teaching that separateness is false and nothing in the world is as it appears to be. Since this is true, the individual person that you think you are must not be your truth, and the persons that you think others are must be illusion, just as your seeming separateness is illusion also. Now, when a person isn't ready for this, this is very sad to a person who really isn't ready for this. You know, I remember one lady was talking to Muji, and Muji was, of course, doing this type of teaching, and she said, you know, it's okay when I think of myself as an illusion. Like, she didn't have a problem with that. You remember this?
Yes.
She goes, but to think of my husband as an illusion, you know, it just broke her heart to think of the husband as an illusion. But what she wasn't realizing is what Muji was really pointing to is the isness. You know, the isness that is her husband is the same isness as the other 300 people in that room, and the same isness as her, and the same isness as Muji. And the isness is, you know, Jesus talked about in the Bible about if you build your house on a foundation of sand and the storm comes, you know, your house and everything with it will be wiped away. But if you build your house on a foundation of rock and the storm comes, your house will stand. Well, the foundation of sand is being attached to temporary form. And the storm that comes is death or loss of a job or, you know, anything else that takes away the happiness of the form, you know, the happy state and turns it into the disastrous state. And, you know, if I adore my husband, you know, as if my husband is reality and all of my happiness is on this great, great husband that I have, and then my husband gets hit by a truck, what happens to me? I suffer greatly. I mean, really, I mean, despair is the word that comes to mind, despair. But if I realize that my husband is isness, and I still appreciate my husband, I still love my husband, But I truly realize that the truth of my husband is isness, and my husband gets hit by a truck. I'm still sad, don't get me wrong, I'm still sad. But somewhere in that there's a peace in the sadness, because I know that there hasn't really been a loss. There's been a change, but there hasn't been a loss. So, you know, by really learning the isness and by realizing the isness within ourselves, realizing the isness as the only reality, then the storms can come, but it doesn't shake us off of our foundation of rock. You know, we have a solidness, we have a rootedness where we can allow all of the changes that are going to come and go, and we stay rooted in peace, we stay rooted in knowledge. So believing in the personhood is the foundation of sand, right? And valuing the personhood. Now, verses 8 to 11. Individual personhood is like a measuring stick with many points of measurement along its shaft. It allows for differences and differences within differences so that it is fully supportive of the judgment that maintains illusion. So you may remember from NTI Romans chapter 2 that what we were taught that creates this illusion where we are not aware of isness is judgment, right? And judgment doesn't just mean, you know, like, oh, I don't like her. Judgment means she is a her, right? She's a her, and she's a her. Those two over there are he's. That's the first difference. Now, the second difference, we could start looking at our bodies and noticing the differences in our bodies. We could look at our ages, notice the difference in our ages. We can look at our personalities, notice the difference in our personalities, our preferences, and you can't find any two people exactly alike, because within every difference you can find more differences. So we can separate into subgroups, but then you're going to get more subgroups and more subgroups, and eventually everybody is standing completely alone. So judgment creates separation. You see? That's what he's saying here. Judgment creates separation, not just good and bad, but the perception of and the belief in differences. And that's why we're not aware of the isness, because we believe the judgments. So verses 12 to 14. The concept of individual personhood is the concept that permits self-judgment. It separates the self from the universe, which allows for comparison, weighting, and judgment. In this process, it separates and rejects. Whenever there is judgment, there is rejection. Therefore, it is the denial of all that is as it is, and it is the concept that leads to the belief and the feeling of loss. Judgment and rejection are the source of all pain, and this pain is caused by your acceptance of yourself as an individual and separate personhood. So again, this is saying if I accept that I am Regina, this is what I am this body, then pretty soon I'm looking at my butt, and I'm looking at Francine's butt, and I'm thinking, you know, she's got a cute little butt, and I'm a big fat pig, right? Isn't that how it works? And then next I'm noticing, you know, how well I know NTI, and somebody else, you know, comes in, and they clearly don't know NTI as well. And next thing, I'm smart. You know, I'm wise, I'm smart, I know this book really well, that person doesn't get it. And, you know, all of this judgment is constantly happening if I believe I'm this person, because that's what happens if you believe that you're this person. The mind points out the differences, you believe the differences, and you're in one moment building yourself up, and in the next moment tearing yourself down, and it's a process that constantly happens, and because the building up and the tearing down is happening all of the time, there's a huge lack of security in that, right? There's a huge lack of security in that that is always happening. And so there's a fear that constantly exists as a result. There's like this underlying stress, this underlying fear that is always present. And it's all because you believe you're a person. I mean, if you didn't believe you're a person, you wouldn't be doing the comparing, right? So the belief that you're a person is at the root of all of this insecurity. Verses 15 to 17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. There are no differences. There is only the illusion of differences, and the illusion is accepted into your own heart by your belief in individual and separate personhood. So I'm going to stop right there for a moment. You know, if we look at each other, and we go ahead and notice the differences, we know each other well enough to notice maybe some personality differences, life differences, we can see the physical differences. If you look at all of the differences for a moment, and then you kind of put them on a piece of paper in your mind, wad up that piece of paper and throw it away, every single difference, what is left? What's something that we all have that is not different?
Isness.
Yeah, isness. That's what we all have, and that's what this is saying, that the isness is all that's really here, and in fact, it's the isness that is actually manifesting as all of the apparent differences. But because all of the apparent differences are really only isness, isness is all that is, which means there are no differences. You know, and one way you might look at it is like if you look at ice cream, you know, there's lots of different flavors of ice cream. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm grateful that there's lots of different flavors of ice cream. But it's really all ice cream. You know, and so isness may manifest as a lot of different forms, but the real purpose of that is the enjoyment of isness. You know, it's the play of isness. And so if we realize that isness is what we are, not people, then we can actually enjoy the same appearance of differences. But if we think we're people, then we're judging those differences. You know, it's kind of funny. So when you realize the substratum of isness, then you can just enjoy all the different ways that isness manifests. You can enjoy the fact that isness manifests over there, you know, as a musician. Isness manifests over there as a cook. Isness manifests over there as a caretaker. Isness manifests over here as a, I think of her as a meditator, you know. Isness manifests over here as a writer, you know, and you can just really enjoy all of that, but you aren't judging. Like, I should also be a meditator, right? Or I should also be a magnificent cook, you know, or I should also have learned how to play an instrument, you know. So, sentence 4. Jesus died to teach that death does not exist, because existence is all that is. Funny how, you know, I told you that back here on sentences 3 through 7, where he said the personhood of man is not real because the world is not real, and this is a very deep thought. I said that's because I really wasn't ready to hear about the isness. But notice how it got stuck in here anyway at sentence 4. Jesus died to teach that death does not exist, because existence is all that is, right? That's what wanted to be said. Therefore, Jesus taught the message of existence, which in truth is all that you are. So we may have contemplated this and got to the right answer, but we can tell it's the right answer because the answer did get written into the text later. I am teaching you this for only one purpose. The purpose is the only true purpose of the heart, which is know thyself. And now we know that means know isness, know beingness. Notice, you know, notice that no matter what is going on with you, isness is. Notice that whether you're happy or sad, angry or joyous, you know, annoyed or patient, isness is. You know, that's what know thyself means. Notice that isness is, and there's nothing you can do, no matter how pissed off you get, or no matter how confused you get, or no matter how whatever, there's nothing you can do that makes the isness stop. You can distract yourself from it and judge yourself for being angry, or judge yourself for being confused, or judge yourself for whatever, but the isness always is. So know thyself means know the isness. Notice The isness is always here. The isness always is. The isness never changes. You know, start focusing on that instead of on all of the changes and all of the differences. So sentence four at the very end. But one cannot know itself as itself if it persists in knowing itself as something different. So if I want to emphasize, you know, but I am this non-athletic person. That's what I am. I am a non-athletic person. Or I am, you know, fill in the blank. If I want to insist that that is who I am, then I'm not going to know myself as isness. You can't have both, right? You can't have both. You either focus on yourself as isness, or you focus yourself on a person with specific characteristics. And so it's up to you how you want to focus on yourself. So one cannot know itself as itself if it persists in knowing itself as something different. Therefore, it is time to lay down who you think you are, that you may pick up once again the realization and acceptance of that which you are. And I'm only going to go one more chapter. Something in me is telling me not to push through this, even though we seem to have time again. We're not going to push through this. We need to go a little slower. So we'll go one more chapter, and we'll just end early tonight, okay?
Okay. Can we kind of, that paragraph again?
This paragraph?
Discuss it or...
Yeah.
Further.
Do you know what you want to discuss? You want me just to read it again and go from there?
I guess I want... to find out how I can stop myself from believing and persisting in knowing myself as this individual, whatever, and start going down the road of seeing myself as a business. I guess I want how-to.
How-to.
How-to examples or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you the two things that I did that helped me. One came first and the other one came second. But that doesn't mean they have to go in that order for you. But the first thing that came for me was I was given a mantra, I am that I am. And I had no idea what that meant. But I was told simply to say the mantra every time I remembered to say it. So every time the thought came into my mind to say the mantra, I would say to myself silently, I am that I am. And then just go on. And what happened for me is I was saying that mantra for about 2 months when all of a sudden I noticed that there were certain little things that happened in my life that were always annoying to me that weren't annoying me anymore. And I asked myself, like, why is this not bothering me anymore? And I realized... because something in me was starting to realize that I was eternal and this thing was only temporary. It was like I knew that I was going to outlast this thing, this situation, so like there was no reason to get upset. This was just coming and going, and I was always here. And that realization was just starting to arise by me just saying that mantra, I am that I am. It was miraculous. And so I continued saying that mantra for many, many months. And somehow this awareness of I am that I am, you know, I am that I am just grew in me. But then the next thing that happened was, I call it, I played a game. After I became aware of I am that I am, after I became aware of the isness, I started playing the game of looking for it, like hide and seek. Like, you know, if I did get annoyed, and I would notice, oh, I'm annoyed, you know, and I'm focused on whatever I'm annoyed on, right? But then I would wait, oh, wait, is the isness still here? Of course it is, you know? And I just started remembering to look for it in all situations. I'd have a headache, and oh, my God, I have a headache, and then wait, is the isness still here? Of course it is. And I just started playing this game of looking for it in all different circumstances. You know, as everything else changed, I'd have a headache, not have a headache, I'd be happy, I'd be annoyed, I'd be cold, I'd be warm. You know, I loved when the hot flashes started coming. I used it during the hot flashes. I'd, oh, gosh, I'm so hot. And then, wait a minute, is the isness still here? Yeah, there it is. I feel it. I see it. I know it. I intuit it, however you want to say that. And the more that I played hide and seek with it, you know, the more I looked for it when it seemed to be hiding because I was focused on something else, the more it kind of shifted into the foreground of awareness. I don't know how else to say it. It just instead of being back here, because when I first started noticing it, it was like it was back here. But the more I focused on it, the more it kind of moved up to where it became almost always, I can't say it's always in the front now, that would not be true, but almost always in the front. Which is why today, when I'm, you know, golfing and a stranger says, oh, can I give you a tip? I mean, that's really why I was okay, because the isness is out front. And this is what makes me, you know, we talked last week, like the moths in Pueblo, you know, some people don't like them and some people are frightened by them and I'm giggling at them. I'm loving them. I'm welcoming them in my home. That's because I'm really aware I'm isness and they're isness, just different forms, but we're the same. I see our sameness more than I see our difference and I love them.
They, you know, just want to fly around.
They're just... Yeah, and they fly right into my face, and I don't get startled. I'm like, oh, hello there, you know, like, oh, it's so nice to see you, and, you know, and I talk, today I talked to the ATM machine, and, you know, because guess what, it's isness too, and it started to get stuck. It had my card, and it wasn't giving me the money, and it got locked up, and I'm like, uh-oh, are you not feeling good? And I patted, and I said, are you going to be okay? You know, and I just waited for a second. I didn't know for sure that it was going to get better, but I waited, and after about a minute, it started turning again, and then it gave me my money and my card. I'm like, oh, great, wonderful, thank you, you know. But, I mean, I don't talk to the machine because I'm crazy. I talk to the machine because I know that it's isness. I know that every little thing in it, the atoms in it that make it up, even the inanimate object, they're alive. So playing with it is actually helpful. But asking yourself, you know, you could even ask yourself, am I right now? Of course I am. You know, maybe you're really mad at your husband or you're really mad at your mother. In the middle of the anger, you go, wait a minute, just am I? Yes, I am. I mean, I am. I may be angry, but before I'm angry, I am. I couldn't be angry if am wasn't here first, right? It's I am, then the word angry. I am, then the word happy. I am, then the word hungry, right? I am, then the word fat, right? I am is always here. That's all that other stuff that changes.
And Muji was saying, like, I know that I exist, I know that, but what knows that in me is the isness that knows that.
Yes.
It's not Francine that knows that, it's the isness.
Yeah, so I would recommend just playing with it. Just play with it. And somehow, because when you play with it, you're giving your attention to it. And it's something about giving your attention to it that makes you more and more aware. In fact, giving your attention to it is actually a practice called awareness, watching awareness. Mm-hmm. That's giving your attention to the fact that you are, that you is, that you am.
And Yaya Shanti talks a lot about what am I? And, you know, I say that during the day. What am I? And I feel it.
And it turns your attention to it, yes.
Yeah.
Because usually our attention is out. And somehow this turns your attention in.
In, right.
That help?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so let's go on to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray for yourself. Pray that you may know only truth and that all blinders and distractions may be lifted so that the pure light that you are may be all that you see. This light, which you are, extends beyond your physical sight and encompasses all that you may see. So that all that is of this light, and this light is the only truth to all that is. This is why Regina Don Akers talks to ATM machines. It's true. You know, and Danielle and Jasmine will tell you, they giggle at me sometimes. You know, I'll see a truck in the corner of my eye, and I'll turn around and say, hi. I'm saying hi to the truck, not the people. The truck caught my attention, and I say hi to it, and they giggle at me. But it just starts to happen that you start to see everything. And I've told you guys before, for me it happened first for some reason with bugs. You know, and then I think I started seeing bugs as isness first. And then the tree. I started to really notice the tree in my backyard as isness. And it just kind of, you know, it just kind of went outward from there. And you know, to where I notice inanimate objects as isness. And so that's what this is calling the light, is that light of awareness, that light of awareness. I am awareness, you are awareness. I am isness, you are isness. That light begins to expand, sort of, and again, it's beyond the physical sight, like this says, to where you just start to have this sense of the tablecloth as isness. You know, when you're folding the towels, you have a sense of the towels as isness. And there's something in you that really enjoys that awareness. It's just then happy to be doing any task, because no matter what task you're doing, you're interacting with isness. And there's a joy in just isness interacting with isness, even though the form may be different. Just isness interacting with isness is the greatest joy of all. And so you enjoy watering the plants, you enjoy folding the towels, you enjoy cooking the dinner, you enjoy doing the dishes, because it's all the same. And you're now focused on that sameness. So again, pray for yourself. Pray that you may know only truth, and that all blinders and distractions may be lifted, so that the pure light that you are may be all that you see. This light, which you are, extends beyond your physical sight and encompasses all that you may see, so that all that is of this light, and this light is the only truth to all that is. Rest within the light of all that is, and accept this light as yourself. Rest within the acceptance that the temporal being you seem to be is not the totality of your beingness, and so it cannot be the truth of who you are. It is like a fragment or a thought within a universe of thought that is yet only one thought within a thought of God's. It is a speck of color on a tapestry of oneness, and so it is a part, but you are the whole. Now, here's an experience I've never had, but you'll hear of people having these experiences where their awareness expands until they see themselves. They even go out beyond the Milky Way, and they just see themselves as the entire universe. They are all of it. You know, this same I, the same awareness that's right now seems to be only right here, very localized, becomes very, very non-localized. Many, many people have had these experiences. And what this is saying is that is the truth of us. The isness is everything, and we are the isness. So we are everything. Now, right now, we're having an experience, you know, that we chose to have of being, in my case, Regina. I'm very localized. When we get up and we leave from here, I will have the experience of driving home in my car, not y'all's cars, right? I'll have the experience of walking into my home, not your home. I'll have the experience of talking to my daughter, not whatever you're going to do when you get home. Like, I don't know that, what you're going to do. And so that's a very localized experience. But this is saying, even though we have localized experiences, we really are everything. But that doesn't discount the localized experience. If you imagine like this beautiful, beautiful tapestry, the truth is that tapestry would not be what it was if it wasn't for every single little thread in the tapestry, right? Every little speck in the tapestry. And so we may be experiencing ourselves as a little bitty speck, but it's saying that little bitty speck needs to be experienced in order for the whole tapestry to be there. And so it's saying that's wonderful. Don't feel bad about having a localized experience. And maybe someday your awareness will shift and you'll see yourself as everything. But you know what? Everybody I know that's done that has also then come back to the localized experience. Right? So just because you have a localized experience doesn't mean you are the localized thing. That's just the experience you're having right now. Verses 11 to 15. The story of personhood is the story of imagination within a mind that is one. Because it is a thought, it need not be rejected. Now that's a really important sentence. Again, we were talking about self-criticism. NTI 2 Thessalonians, which we read last week, is there to help us let go of self-criticism. What we tend to do is we tend to reject this self that I perceive as me. It's all of us do it at some level. We reject this self I perceive as me. And then, because the ego is the ego, when we start learning that I'm not me, sometimes we start rejecting it even more. You know? It's like we just double up on that self-criticism. I shouldn't see from a localized position. I'm a loser because I do. You know, I shouldn't have these thoughts in the mind. I'm a loser because I do. And we just judge ourselves even more. And this is saying no. This is saying that the apparent person that you are is a part of the whole. And that it is beloved. You know, imagine one petal on a flower hating itself because it was only a petal. But what would the flower be without that petal? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's saying, you know, everything is perfect and you are a part of that perfection. So even though you have the experience of being a person and you're learning that you're not a person and you're being taught to experience that, to focus on that which you really are, that doesn't mean that you need to reject the person. There becomes a way where you learn to love everything, including this, that you see yourself as. You know, you just accept everything. You're non-judgmental with everything. And that's why, you know, again, you can, you know, hit one golf ball and it can be great, and then you swing again and you miss, and you enjoy both experiences. You don't enjoy just the golf ball that you hit that was good. You also enjoy the time you swung and missed. You learn to just enjoy everything, and you don't have the judgment of good and bad. It's all an experience. It's all a tapestry. It's all a part of the whole. It's all meant to be. Now, of course, we have these experiences in the world that are very negative, very dark, very ugly. I mean, today I saw on the news another school shooting, right? But remember, those experiences show up in the world because of our judgment. So instead of getting stuck on how can I love everything because there's these negative experiences in the world, just start practicing loving where you can. And start noticing where you are judging that you don't have to. And again, that will naturally expand. And the more that we all become loving, the more that we all become accepting, the less those types of things can happen. Right? Those types of things don't come from our love and acceptance. Those types of things come from our judgment. So learn to love and accept even the person you seem to be. So again, the story of personhood is the story of imagination within a mind that is one. Because it is thought, it need not be rejected. All thought may be embraced and loved as one. But the thought that is a speck should not be seen as the whole, for a fragment by itself is nothing. But a speck of color within the tapestry of everything is a part of the everything with which it flows. So again, you want to start seeing this personality as the part of a total picture. And somehow in loving this, you love everything, and in loving everything, you love this. Try to let go of that idea of separation. In loving this, you love everything, and in loving everything, you love this. You know, be just love. Move in that direction. So we have a couple options for assignments. One thing that we heard was focusing on the isness. And then the other thing that we heard was learning to love the personality as a part of the whole. Not as you, but as just a part of the whole. Do you guys have a preference which one you would like to try? Focus on the isness. You know, like I talked about how I play the game. Now, am I right now? Of course I am, right? Play the game. Or practice accepting the personality that you appear to be as a part of the whole and loving it as a part of the whole rather than separating it out as me and judging it. The second one? Okay, is everybody else okay with that? Practice accepting the personality as just a part of the whole. You know, like a character in a story, and the story wouldn't be the story without that character. I mean, what would Cinderella be without the evil stepmother? Right? It wouldn't be the same story. We need that character, right? So, you know, whatever you tend to judge as your faults, realize everything about you is a part of this whole, and it needs to be exactly as it is for the whole to be what it is right now. And just practice loving yourself as a part of the whole, but not as who you are. See yourself as a character. So I will stop the recorder and we can have a little bit of silence.